Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Brethren, I would remind you that the book of Romans is a great doctrinal treatise given to us through the Holy Spirit in the writings of the Apostle Paul. A book that reveals unto us God's system of saving man from his sins, revealing unto us the various components of the gospel of Christ, God's power unto salvation. But it also reveals unto us the wrath of God and his indignation toward all unrighteousness. With the giving of the system of salvation, God has shown his love toward us, his mercy, extended his grace toward us to provide for us something that we could never accomplish for ourselves and by ourselves. But he's shown this because we cannot save ourselves. And we are in need of salvation because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I would remind you of these things because before anybody will appreciate and come to the system that God has provided for his salvation, he must recognize his need, that without it he's lost, doomed, and damned. He is in a hopeless state. He's helpless to be able to retrieve himself from it. And so God has seen that condition in mankind and has provided this system for us. And the reason it is so important that we respond to this system is because, brethren, there is a day of judgment coming when we all shall be judged by Almighty God. I remember many years ago, and it's becoming more years sometimes than I like to think, when I was a student in the university. There was one particular professor that I tried to get in his class and did two or three times because of something he would do to prepare us for the final examination of that quarter. He would give us about 100, 125 questions. Now, he wouldn't use all those questions on the test, but he would tell us this. The test will come from those questions. 10 or 12 of the questions of the test will be from this 100, 125 questions. Well, I appreciated that. At least he was giving us an opportunity, wasn't it, to be properly prepared for what was coming. Well, there are certain measures that God is going to use when we stand before him in judgment. And he has graciously informed us of these. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul shows to the Gentiles their need of salvation. In Romans chapter 2, he shows the Jews their need of salvation. Romans chapter 3, it shows the universal need because all have sinned. But in Romans chapter 2, at least in the first part of it, there are at least four measures that God tells us that he's going to consider in the judgment of God. If you'll notice in the second chapter, in the second verse, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." God will judge according to truth, brethren. There's so much error in the world that men will naively and gullibly accept sometimes. But those things will not be the measure, the truth. And what does that have to do with Christ? Well, Christ is the very personification of truth, isn't he? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our Savior, when he was praying to the Father, John 17 and 17, "Thy word is truth." We shall be measured by what is revealed in the word. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "The words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, since we know that the word of God is going to be the standard and measure, shouldn't that motivate us? Shouldn't that provoke us to do everything that we possibly can to become acquainted with it, knowledgeable of it, so that we can believe it and obey it and thereby be prepared? We're glad God has told us that. And then he's also told us in the sixth verse, who will render to every man according to his deeds. I think the real significance of that passage, or at least one of them, is this. It matters what you do. It matters how you treat other people. It matters where you go. It matters what you say, because by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It matters how you dress. It matters what you think about things. Because we're going to be judged according to our works. Now, we can't be saved on the merit of our works, that's obvious. But our works do count, and they do matter. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, according to he hath done. Whether it be good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. I invite your attention before you retire tonight to consider Matthew 25, which Jesus pictures as a scene of judgment. And there we see the difference between enter thou into the joy of the Lord or depart from me, I never knew you. What was the difference? It was what they had done or what they had failed to do that they ought to have done. What you have done today and what you have done in life and what you will do in the future, young and old of us all, that will be under consideration. And then we look again here in verse 11. Paul says, for there is no respect of persons of God. Now, during the time of the Jewish dispensation, the Jews were respected. They were God's chosen people, chosen because it was through them that the Savior was to come. The Savior, of course, now has come. And the Jews are not any more respected than any other person. In Christ, whether bond or free, Jew or Greek, male or female, we're all one man in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Peter had a vision given unto him. When he went to the household of Cornelius, he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Aren't you thankful it's that way? Wouldn't you hate to think that God has a certain class over here, a certain respect of people on the basis that we sometimes emphasize our differences, our color of skin, how much wealth we may have, how popular we are, or various things that people emphasize in life. Those sort of things will not be taken into consideration in the judgment. Aren't we glad that God does not look upon people with that kind of respect? It could be, if he did, we would be the very ones left out. But we're not left out. Nobody's left out. This is a universal offer of salvation to all because all are in need of it. Now, there will be respect for some, those who are in Christ, because the spiritual blessings are in Christ. And that's the importance, dear people, for us to be in Christ, because they are the ones that will be in God's favor. But the fourth, and quickly to mention another measure, is in the 12th verse. And this is something that Brother White mentioned in the Sunday morning auditorium class the other day, last Sunday, I believe. We're not going to be measured by the same law. We're going to be measured by the law under which we lived. Abraham will not be judged according to the law of Moses. Moses will not be judged according to the commands of the gospel of Christ. We shall not be judged according to those things that have preceded us in the other previous dispensations. You know, tragically, this is one of the grave faults of so much of the religious world. They've failed to delineate the three dispensations, and they've sort of mixed them all up together, and they take part from here and part from there and part from another, and they dishonor the gospel of Christ, which is the sole measure of salvation. And since the day of Pentecost, and all of God's promises and prophecies came to pass with Jesus Christ in the establishment of his church, and Peter preached that first gospel sermon, since that time, all mankind, everywhere, is subject to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should motivate me and you to want to know, what did he say? What did he teach? What's the standard by which I am to live? What must I do to be right in His sight? In order to be prepared, dear friend, as you well know, we must be in Christ. And this marvelous doctrinal treatise of Romans tells us of all of the components in this system, probably more than any other one single inspired book of the New Testament. The book of Romans spells out to us God's part in our salvation, man's part in our salvation, how they two work together to bring about the glory of God and our redemption. And it teaches we must be in Christ and tells us how to get into Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then it tells us how to do that. We're to hear the word, and we're to believe what we've heard, and we're to obey the things that we believe. And our Lord has taught confession of Him as the Son of God and repentance of our sins and baptism into His death. And when we rise from that watery grave, our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have the hope and the promise and the opportunity to live faithful unto God. And then when we stand before God in judgment, we will realize there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. We'll realize that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. We will realize that salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. And that's the reason we would persuade, and that's the reason being persuades, that's the reason your teachers persuade, that's the reason your parents persuade. Do those things that the Lord says He's going to use for our measure, and be faithful in Christ. And then when that day comes, and we will be before God, it won't be a day of dreadfulness. It will be a day of rejoicing. And after all, that's the fondest hope and prayer of us all, isn't it? If you're not in Christ, would you not obey Him tonight? If you're not faithful in the Lord, would you not be restored? What a glorious opportunity it is for those who are not right with God to make those things right this very hour.